can do it. You can do it. You remember, I'm going to stay down here today because, heat rises. And so I want to stay as low as possible. If my shirt starts getting dark, please don't judge me. I did put on deodorant this morning, I promise. Even though Sarah and the kids are gone, I do still know how to take care of myself. And I picked out my own outfit. So if it doesn't match, then don't tell Sarah, please. Just don't say anything. I hope you'll forgive me because I was only this morning deciding on how to open this message. So I hope we don't get off to a too rocky of a start. You'll notice that Sarah and the kids are gone. The rest of my family, they're in Wisconsin, and I'll be joining them later on this afternoon. But I came home Wednesday to... Happy early Father's Day, Daddy. Happy early Father's Day. And I could barely get in the door. And Ephraim, I can't wait for this kid to grow up. This is so fun. Ephraim got me a bidet attachment for my toilet. I'm kind of excited about that. Judge me if you will. That's fine. But I've got a little bit of a project if I want to keep warm because I've got to run a hot water line to my toilet now. That's all I'll say about that. Lily got me a tree, a bonsai tree. It came in a little pot with, two sections. One the tree was planted in, the other was like a little pond of water. There's a little guy sitting on the bank there with his cane pole. Fishing, and I think there's a little toy fish in there. If not, Lily's got one, she can put it. I think we're going to have a great time taking care of this tree and pruning it and watching it grow and shaping it just the way we want it to. But I was thinking about that this morning on my way in, and I missed a video call from my daughter. She was wishing me happy birthday. She sent me the video after, and I saw it here. But I was thinking about the gift that she had given me for Father's Day. And it reminded me of a story that I know about a tree. Rather, maybe a couple brothers than a tree. There are two brothers that went to their father's property, and they came upon a young tree that had a whole lot of fruit. I mean, there was a lot of fruit on this tree. So they both sat down, and they ate of it, and they got full, and they were content. And the one brother gathered up as much fruit as he could, and he took it home, and he ate for days. The other brother, though, took the tree. Of course, he had Dad's permission, and he planted it in his yard, and he often had fruit where the other brother had none. I was thinking this week on how to tie this sermon in to Father's Day. It became pretty apparent to me. Father's Day is a special day throughout the year that we pay special homage and honor and attention to our fathers. And I thought, well, let's pay special attention to our father. So about 161 days ago, I invited you all to enroll with me in BIU, Bible Intake University. And school's out for the summer. And I think we're doing very well regularly attending the College of Hearing. But how about the College of Reading? And I know of several of you that started a Bible reading plan back in January. I hope you all did. How's that going? Are you faithful in it? Or have you fallen behind? We started a Bible reading plan with Lily. We've got a children's Bible, the Bible in 365 stories. We're somewhere around 120 right now. We're learning about Samuel and Saul and King David. I started a chronological reading plan, and a few weeks ago, my reading was Psalm 119. Now, I've been in study of Psalm 119 since I had to read it. There's not really a whole lot that we know concerning its origin. We don't know who the author is, but Daniel, David, Ezra, Hezekiah, these are all reasonable conclusions for authorship. Because we don't know who wrote it, we don't know when it was written. That time spans about 4 or 5 centuries, depending on who wrote it. But one thing we know for certain, one thing we know with absolute certainty, is that the psalmist was passionately concerned with conforming to the will of God. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and the psalmist commits 8 verses for each letter, beginning the first word of each line with the associated Hebrew letter, right? Aleph, Bet, Gimel, and so on. If you're doing math, that's 176 verses in this one psalm. 176 verses. And over 190 times he makes reference to the will of God revealed in either the oral or written word. That's a lot of references. 6 months ago, I told you that the purpose of every spiritual discipline is to pursue godliness. And beyond that, I told you that there is no spiritual discipline more important than the intake of God's word into our heart. I believe that true then. And I believe that true now, maybe even more. And the psalmist, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, seems to agree. We're going to take a look at one more college of BIU this morning, the College of Memory. This is a school that's very sparsely attended, because most Christians seem to think that they have a bad memory. So let's just take a moment and we'll ask God's blessing before we go any further. Father God, Daddy, bless us to walk in your ways, to delight, to take joy in your statutes. Incline our hearts to your word rather than our own desires. Establish your word in our hearts so that we might revere you. But sanctify us now in this time that we spent together for the glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. To hear the word of God is to be like that first brother. You may gather enough fruit to have enough food for a few days, but it doesn't compare to having your own tree. Memorizing scripture will greatly increase our harvest from the tree of the Bible. But many Christians consider scripture memorization to be something tantamount to martyrdom. Let me illustrate this. Do you guys remember spelling class in school? I remember spelling class. My teacher was Miss Polycarnopolis, Miss P, we called her. Every week, she'd give us a new list of, say, 25 or 30 words that we had to memorize, spell, and define. What tedious work that was. And often, these were obscure words that, when am I ever going to use this word? Or what about chemistry? Now, before I go any further, do I have any chemistry buffs? Okay, because I don't want to offend anybody. What about that periodic table? You know, when am I ever going to use this knowledge? I mean, the point is, a lot of us hate memorization because we associate it with that uninteresting, seemingly useless memory work of our school days. But then again, a lot of us, and you know, if I had a nickel for every time somebody told me, well, Adam, I have a bad memory, I might be able to fill my truck up with gas. Well, maybe not at today's prices. I might buy a couple Happy Meals for my kids. But if you're thinking that right now, if you're thinking, Adam, I have a bad memory, I can't memorize scripture, then stop it. Just stop it, because that's a lie. That is a deception from the deceiver. Okay, I'll bet you, if I offered you $10,000 for every verse that you could memorize perfectly over the next 7 days, your memory capabilities would rival those of Emma Allum. Who's that? Who's Emma Allum? Who's that? I'll tell you. She won the World Memory Championship for sequentially memorizing 420 words, randomly generated, in 15 minutes. 420 words. In 15 minutes. I'd be hard-pressed to read that many words in 15 minutes. But I'm not going to make that offer. I said, what if? There's the legal disclaimer on that. Don't come looking for me next Sunday for a big check. I'll write you a check. I'll give you a big tip, too. Go memorize some more verses. Come back to me later. Because any financial reward would pale in comparison to the value of the treasure of God's word committed to your mind and applied to your heart. That is the value in memorizing scripture. That's the benefit. Psalm 119:11 says, "Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you." See, memorizing God's word means that it's available for the Holy Spirit to bring to our attention when we need it the most. When we need it. See, it's one thing to be doing something or saying or thinking something when we know we shouldn't. But if we've committed, say, for example, Colossians 3:2 to memory, then the Holy Spirit can remind us to set our minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. And you see, that is an illustration of Ephesians 6, putting on the full armor of God, which includes taking up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's Ephesians 6:17. But if we don't treasure God's Word, then we cannot stand firm against the devil's schemes that Paul mentions in Ephesians 6:11. Because memorizing scripture supplies us with the spiritual power necessary to overcome temptation. I didn't have to think far to think of an example of this. Jesus' confrontation with Satan in that lonely Judean wilderness. Best example I could think of. Every time Satan thrust a temptation at Jesus, he parried with the sword of the Spirit. Hey, I know you're hungry and tired. You've been fasting 40 days. Here's a rock. Why don't you turn that to bread? But Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Take a pause for a moment. I don't know where I'm at on my slides, so if you could just help me. Follow along. There you go. Memorization provides spiritual power. You know, Satan says, here we are on top of this mountain. Why don't you jump? You know, you just defended, or you just parried off that temptation with the word of God. Isn't it written that if you jump off here, then God's going to send legions of angels down to save you so that you won't strike your foot on the ground? Ah, but Jesus said, it's written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Okay. Well, how about you see all this, all those kingdoms? Jesus, I'll give you all of that. If you just one time, just bow down and worship. But Satan, don't you know, it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. See, the word of God is the sword of the Spirit, but the Spirit cannot supply you with a weapon that you've not stored in your mental armory. Imagine that you're in the middle of a decision that you need guidance on. Okay, particularly divine guidance. We need divine guidance in all our decisions, don't we? I think we do. Or imagine you're struggling with a particularly difficult temptation. Well, the Spirit, he flies to your mental arsenal and he throws open the door. A few moths go flying out. And all he finds is a Genesis 1:1, a John 3:16, you know, maybe a Great Commission or a repent and be baptized or for all have sinned. See, those are all great swords. They are great swords, but they're not made for every battle. I mean, try using, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth to battle alcoholism. You can't do it. You'll fail. You'll fail fatally. But say, for example, that you committed Romans 13:13-14 to your armory of your mind. Then the Holy Spirit can remind you to behave properly, as in the day. Not in carousing and drunkenness. Not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for your flesh as regarding to its lusts. See, memorizing scripture supplies the spiritual power necessary to sin less and love more. And you can do it. You can do it. I want to do an experiment, and so may God use this for His glory. That's the way I intended it. If you have a phone number that you can be reached at, I don't care if it's your own. It could be your mom's, your dad's, your aunt. Well, I don't care. But if there's a phone number that somebody said I wanted to call you or send you a text, this is the number that you would give. Go ahead and stand up. We're going to do some audience participation. If you have a phone number, I know. So I just want to sit back and do nothing. Well, I'm standing and I'm walking around, and I'm excited to be God's child. Are you excited to be God's child?
Yes.
Okay, amen. We're all standing. We all have a phone number. Now, I'm going to give you a countdown, and then I'm going to say go. And when I say go, I want you to yell out your phone number. Okay, everyone got this? We're all pretty clear on the instructions. Ready? 3, 2, 1, go. 219-488-7586. Okay, we all did phenomenally. You can give yourself a little pat on the back. Have a seat. You all did a phenomenal job. We know our phone number. We know our phone number. Who was the first president of the United States? Who was the man who invented the assembly line and mass-produced the first cars? Henry Ford, right. Very good. Finish this phrase for me. An apple a day
keeps the doctor away.
What's the strongest muscle in the human body? The heart. Very good. Who was your best friend in school? Do you know why you can remember your best friend from your school days? However long ago they were? Because you had a relationship with them. You talked with them. You sat down and you ate with them. You did things together, had sleepovers, went to movies, went to ball games. May I ask you, do you have a relationship with Jesus? Is Jesus your friend? Jesus is all the world to me. What a friend I have in Jesus. All my sins and griefs he bears. In John 15:15, Jesus says, I no longer call you slaves, but now I call you friends. Because slaves don't know what their master's plans are, and everything that the Father has revealed to me, I've given to you. It's John 15:15, albeit a paraphrase. You know what Jesus says right before that? John 15:14. You are my friend if you do what I command you to. What are we saying? What a friend I have in Jesus. You know what I'm singing? doing what Jesus commands me to do? See, if you can remember your best friend from way back when, you can remember Scripture. You can. See, Scripture memorization is a matter of motivation. It's not a matter of mental capacity. You can do it. And once you've accepted that you can and determined that you will, you need a plan. You need a plan. So let me give you a plan and some tools to help you out. Dawson Trotman was the founder of the Ministry of the Navigators. He memorized one verse daily back in the 20s as he was driving his truck around delivering hardware supplies. In the first 3 years of his Christian life, he memorized over 1,000 verses. Over 1,000 verses. I think it was something like 1,090-something. You can do math, it's somewhere around there. Now, there's over 30,000 verses in the Bible. Okay, and if you're good at math and you're doing this quickly in your head, you can say, Adam, that will take a lifetime. And you're right. At that rate, one verse a day, it'll take over 85 years to memorize the Bible. So just like we need a plan when we come to read the Bible, we need a plan when we come to study the Bible. Fortunately, Scripture memorization plans are very easy to find. Now, I know Christian bookstores are becoming more and more rare, but the internet's pretty popular nowadays. And I think that we could probably all pull out our phone right now and get on the internet and go to Google, and we could type in the Navigators in the search bar and hit enter, tap or click or whatever you're doing. And then up would pop up the Navigator's website. You click on that, and you'd find they have a wonderful Scripture memorization plan. I use a plan from Fighter Verses. Yeah, that's another website online. It's a five-year plan. I think I'm in year two now. Sometimes it's a single verse. Like last week's verse was 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given you a spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and of discipline." Sometimes it's a few verses, like this week. This week is 1 Peter 5, verses 6 through 8. "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit. Be on alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." The point is, every week, I'm expanding my armory. I'm treasuring God's word, so that I can do battle against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces in this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places, in the battle for my soul, on the battlefield of my life, so that I may not sin against God. You can do it too. You can do it. Let me give you some tools. I'll give you three tools and a warning. When I need to remember something, I found it very helpful to write it down. Sarah was packing everything for vacation, and she had a list going. And she was constantly going back to refer to that list, writing things down that she'll think about in the moment. "Oh, I've got to put this down and go write it down so I don't forget it." Then she gets there and she sends me a text message, say, "Hey, I didn't even think about this. Can you put it on your list? Because I know you've written one down so that you don't forget it." Right? So I do, and I hope I don't forget. Don't lose the list. I know it's right on my kitchen counter, so that'll be very easy to find. Dog ate my checklist. It's not gonna fly, I don't think. Write it down. I could show you on my iPad. I've got a little digital notebook, and then one of my notebooks in there is scripture memory. And we could scroll through the pages on pages on pages. And it's like, you remember in school when you get in trouble in class and the teacher says, "All right, Adam, you owe me 3 pages front and back. I will not disrupt in class or fill in the blank," whatever, right? Whatever you did wrong. You owe me 3 pages of this right front and back. Just pages on my notebook. I didn't want to do that because it reminded me of the discipline I often got when I was in school. I was a troublesome boy. But I did it. I disciplined myself to do it, and then I reaped the benefits of it. You can draw a picture. You can draw a picture. I'm not an artist. We're not talking about anything elaborate here. Okay, no one has to see this but you. Okay? There it is. I blew it up so that you can see it, but there it is. I carry these little memory cards around so that, you know, the verses that I'm working on that aren't really sharp in my mind, whenever I have time, a moment throughout the day, I'll just take it out, review it a couple times, while I'm waiting for the gas to pump. Instead of watching the dollars go up, 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 I can remember that in humility I can cast my anxiety watching those numbers go up, 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 up on the Lord my God because He cares for me. This is my picture. It probably doesn't make much sense to you. Let me see if I can explain it. There's a hand. There's another hand. This is me on my knees. There's some question marks, a glass of wine being poured out, some watchful eyes, and a lion. This helps me, here's the squiggly line. It tells me where to go and what order this is. So humble myself under that mighty hand of God so that He will exalt me when it's the proper time, casting all my anxieties, my worries, my fears, things that I don't know about, right? Casting all my anxieties on Him because He cares for me. Be of sober spirit. Be on alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. It makes sense to me. It doesn't have to make sense to you. It doesn't have to look pretty either. My friend taught me this technique. He was in school. He was in college. And there were his peers sitting around him, scribbling notes like stenographers, trying to maybe scribe the lecture that was being. He was there, doodling, memorizing entire lectures by drawing pictures. He's an ER doctor now, up in Michigan. He scored incredibly high on his doctor tests, whatever those are. But beware. So write it down. Write it down. You can draw it out. That helps me. In fact, we were just talking about making a picture directory. I mean, isn't it nice not just to see a name, but see a picture so that you can associate a name with a face? Right? Pictures really help. They really do. So write it up, draw a picture, but beware of slacking off. Don't settle for just getting the main idea. Right? I know, Romans 3:23 says something about all of us sinning. Don't settle for just getting the main idea. Memorize it word for word. And memorize the reference too. So that you know where the Bible says something about all of us being sinners is Romans 3:23. Memorize it word for word. Memorize the reference. I know it's hard to dot every I and cross every T and pay attention to like the punctuation. Okay, because that helps explain the meaning of the passage. Paying attention to every jot and tittle is hard initially. It gets easier. And it's easier and more fruitful in the long run. You see, scripture that you have committed to memory with such accuracy and precision is far easier and faster to review. There's your third tool, review. Review is the essential element in scripture memorization. Absolutely essential. Without review, you will soon lose what you have learned. There was once a time that I could fill in every single element on the periodic table for the purposes of that test. After that test was over and I had passed, forget about it. I'd be hard-pressed to get a single one right. I know the first two. I know the first two with certainty. Helium and hydrogen. But I don't know which one's first. Okay? Either or. I don't remember which side of the table they go on. I know they're on opposite sides. I don't remember whether helium's over here or over there. I don't remember. Because I haven't reviewed it in probably 25 years or better. Review. One of my favorite review practices is to review my memory verses at bedtime. If this is the only time that you're reviewing your memory verses, I would advise against this. But if it's not, it's really win-win. Because if I fall asleep, no big deal. I'm supposed to be sleeping anyway. And if I can't fall asleep, what better use of my time than filling my mind with the most precious, peaceful information possible in the Word of God and hiding it in my heart? You can do it. You can do it. But remember, the goal of scripture memorization is not how many verses can I memorize. You know, or who can memorize the most verses? That's not the goal. The aim is to commit the Word of God to our mind and apply it to our hearts so that it can transform our lives. The goal is godliness. And here we are back at the beginning. And so with this, I'll close. Happy Father's Day. I think that's how it began, right? Happy Father's Day. And I'm sure a lot of you are going to be going and celebrating with your dads. And I hope you do. I hope you do. This is an important day. You know, especially if your dads brought you up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Especially thank them for that. That is something to be immensely thankful for. Maybe you're going out to lunch or dinner, maybe. Or maybe you're just letting dad sit there in his lazy boy and watch the ball game without interruption. Or maybe letting him figure out who's going to win this golf tournament that's going on. But as we leave here today, let's go out of here glorifying our dad, our Father in heaven. And the best possible way that I can think of, by treasuring his word in our heart so that we may not sin against him. And may the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ go with you as we dismiss today. Our hymn of invitation, say I didn't commit this to memory.